Technorama episode 426, Lunar Realtors.
It is the determination of this court that the prisoners are Jack DeMarcy and Craig Stepp, guilty as charged.
I wish to note for the record that the evidence against my clients is entirely circumstantial. I beg the court to consider this when pronouncing its sentence.
So noted. It is the judgment of this court that without possibility of reprieve or parole, you be taken from this place to the dilithium mines on the penal asteroid of Technorama. There to spend the rest of your natural lives.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I need to make a withdrawal. I heard you guys have a Bitcoin ATM machine.
Over there, in the media corner.
Cha-ching.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew. Chuck and Craig.
I just had an idea. They should replace Mario Brothers with a little Bitcoin thing.
Hey, as soon as you said cha-ching, my email went off and I heard ding-ding.
You've got that.
Bitcoin.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. In other words, we're just here to have a whole bunch of fun. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you very much for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm actually earlier in time now.
Is that a web joke? Earlier?
Earlier in time? No.
And earlier. Once again, in the studio, in his former studio, is...
I'm Michael. How are you doing?
Still here.
I'm still here. I never go away.
He does go home. You know, I hate it when I do that. I'm going to start figuring out something else.
Nah, you'll figure it out. It just takes
I just
got to
keep my hand on there. It's only during the intro this time. At least I'm getting a little sharper on that.
You'll get used to it.
Have to get quicker at our intros to squeeze them into that 5-second delay in there. So, well, and why don't we take care of that then? No, 15, number two, track two. There we go. That one. Coming up in this episode, and not necessarily related, we have Red Skull, Doctor Who, and birthday party clowns. You should be very afraid, clowns.
They sound related to me, actually.
Geek Thoughts.
WikiLeaks. Sounds like it requires adult undergarments.
Hello?
Hey, little angel. Sent up about 38 silver dollar pancakes and about a gallon of syrup, baby. And a fresh TV.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
This is Steve Holden at TechNewsRadio.com. When you listen to Technorama, just about anything can happen.
And apparently anything is happening tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is happening tonight. Hey. Thank you.
I said he sounds like a much younger Steve Holden.
Well, that one's a few years old. It's yeah, much.
You know what's funny is you and I have been on a ghost chase looking for different things from our past archive, and it's funny to stop and listen to one of the episodes for a few minutes. It's like, wow.
Oh, I know. there have been a lot of changes in quality, in, you know, yeah. Some of the content is still there that we've been doing forever.
I sound much more professional now.
Right. Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Hey, you know, no more having to do this double ender stuff. That has to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You don't know. Yes.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, he does.
Believe me. Yes, I do.
Hey, I stopped my sentence short. I know.
Remember who you're talking to.
I do.
Email.
Try that and pull one out.
Letters.
I love those letters.
Wait for it.
Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Now, wait a minute. Did that old boy sound like Mike or not?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was sitting here trying to figure out how I was going to play Beer Coaster Solitaire.
No, listen to this again. I love those letters.
Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
It is not him.
I don't believe it.
I was listening this evening going, man, that I never realized how much that sounded like Mike before. We have email from Mark in Memphis. He said, when you mentioned in the history segment about Opel Motors and you said your brother had an Opel GT, it brought to mind a bumper sticker I saw on one. This Opel particular said, when I grow up, I want to be a Corvette. He always wanted to have one. Have a Marvy day.
Nice.
You could have done better if you called in my reading on that. But we also have one from Doug in, it says Arizona, but it's actually Australia.
Uh-huh.
I screwed up. My fingers are now in the habit of doing
AZ.
AZ.
They've... Oh, yeah. Like you're some native to Arizona and all of a sudden.
Oh, give him time.
Nope, I don't have to worry about time zones. And I keep it in AZ. Oh, my.
I was filling out a form this week. I almost wrote the old zip code on there. 5-4. Ooh, no.
We have 2014, one, by the way.
From Doug. It says, just looking at the list of every time travel movie, they have the American remake, just visiting, of The Visitors, the French movie. Have you ever seen the original French version?
I have not seen that one.
No.
No, I haven't either.
Hmm, interesting.
But I will back up. I think it was last week, Mike, you were talking about...
Predestination.
Predestination. We saw that this week. Very good movie.
It's a
mind bender.
Yeah, and the more you watch it, the more times you watch it, the more stuff you pick up.
But if he did that, then how did that get started? And then it gets into, but then you have to go do, it's one of those.
Yeah, it's definitely, you need to just go watch it, and then your mind will explode, and then you'll have to watch it again. And
what came first, the chicken or the egg?
That's it. I'm my old grandpa.
Did that show up on like Amazon or something recently? Did I see that somewhere? Netflix, maybe?
Yeah, it's on Apple TV.
Apple TV
put it out early.
Rent it / buy it there.
Yeah, it's in theaters right now. In fact, it was on Apple TV when it released in theaters. And they're doing that a lot lately, which is another reason that you get an Apple, because the Apple TV is just freaking cool.
Well, yeah, even PBS
specials have come out. There was one that was out this week that Donna turned me on to called The Last Days of Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be on PBS until the end of April.
Right. Right.
Which is the 40th anniversary of pulling out of Vietnam.
It's gotten to the point now that I think I turn cable on maybe twice a week. That's it. Wow. Other than that, it's all on Apple TV. I don't need it anywhere else, because even the movies and stuff that's on like HBO and Showtime, I have HBO Go and I have Showtime on demand on the Apple TV. I can watch what I want when I want. I don't have to turn it on and go, okay, what piece of crap movie do I want to watch right now? Then and wait for something good to come on afterwards.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know, I cut the cord about 4 years ago, or yeah, it's about 4 years ago. And I haven't looked back. There's been a few shows like, you know, MythBusters or something that comes on Discovery, but
right.
there's only a handful of those shows. It doesn't justify me going and buying a whole cable package Mm-hmm. And some of that stuff I watched online or we've paid for through Amazon or, you know, Netflix or something like that. So,
well, it's the first year that's painful because all these mm-hmm. shows are coming out that you can't watch, and it takes a year for them to get to Netflix or get to some other outlet that you can watch them on your other devices. So after you get through the pains of the first year, then it's like, oh, okay, it's just now like I've regular TV. Yep. I'm a year behind. And you get spoiled on a lot of stuff from all the comments and stuff online. But what? You're still on. Yeah.
Except for things like Doctor Who, you know, because when, you know, a while back when David Tennant was the Doctor, you know, they would show the episodes in England or the UK rather before they would show them on BBC America.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was obviously just like everybody else on the planet was looking online for the content, and I ended up watching it 6 months before everybody around the world had seen it.
Great segue, because we have a voicemail from Trampas about the Doctor Who, the TARDIS copter that we're talking about, that quadcopter with the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
What? Wait a minute.
Hey, Technorama, this is Trampas. Right. You were talking about the flying TARDIS and the latest episode that I was listening to, and I was watching a video on Facebook the other day, and it was a similar thing. It was like a flying DeLorean. Cool. I think it was a quadcopter. The body looked pretty primitive. I'm guessing some sort of cardboard or something, but it did look pretty cool. On the downside, though, they never got it up to 88 miles per hour, so I'm curious about whether it will time travel or not. All right.
87. You're 87, flying, that's it.
You're flying your drone around the sky, all of a sudden it disappears. Where'd it go?
It must have burned up. I saw those little flames. And actually, you know what I saw today?
I'm just going to fade us out. Keep going.
We don't care what Greg has to say.
No, nope, but we are going to go right into...
Wait a minute. Yes. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I just saw a video this week of somebody had made the aluminum.
The aluminum Falcon.
The Millennium Falcon, and it was pretty cool.
Yes. Saw that.
I saw that too. The drone.
The Millennium Falcon drone.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
History time?
History.
Yes, why not?
On this day in history for February 11, 2015, this is the 42nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 323 days remaining in 2015. It was on this date in 1808 that Jesse Fell burns anthracite on an open grate as an experiment in heating homes with coal.
Interesting. February 11th, 1916, Emma Goldman is arrested for lecturing on birth control. Wow, really?
How times have changed. Yeah. 99 years ago.
I thought I read that wrong.
No?
Yeah. Also today in 1938, BBC Television produces the first ever science fiction television program, an adaptation of the selection from Carl Hapek. I guess I'm saying that right.
Yes, close enough.
Play from URU, the coin term that coined the term robot. Well,
it's cool. RUR, not URU.
RUR. Yeah.
Hey, I'm on the second beer in the manager's special tonight.
That's where the term robot came from. It was 76 years ago today that a Lockheed P-38 Lightning flies from California to New York in a paltry 7 hours and 2 minutes.
My favorite World War II aircraft was the 38.
Yep.
18 years ago today, Space Shuttle Discovery is launched on a mission to service this Hubble Space Telescope.
And February 11th, 2011, a Dutch programmer launched the Anaconda virus, infecting millions of emails and via a trick photo of the NASA. I totally remember that.
I remember that.
And the emails that went around the office said, don't open it if it says Anaconda on it.
Wow. I love you shortly after that.
I love you too, Craig. Happy birthday goes out of this day to English photographer and inventor of the calotype.
Really?
Henry Fox Talbot, born on this date in 1800.
Also born on this date in 1839 was American physicist Josiah Willard Gibbs.
Was he one of the Bee Gees?
He's one of the Gibb brothers. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're multi-talented. It's that falsetto thing. Yeah. It takes physics in order to hit that.
Go, Craig.
And a man who needs no introduction or title or to any self-respecting geek, Thomas Edison was born 168 years ago today.
Thomas who?
And he looks so good.
Hungarian-American physicist Leo Slizzard was born on this date in 1898.
Author Sidney Sheldon would have been 98 today.
And finally, engineer and astronaut Richard
Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, Ralph Macchio is 55.
And don't forget that today is Inventor's Day, so go invent something. That's the way it was on this day in history for February 11, 2015. Bam!
Mastracchio. There we go.
Mastracchio. Yeah, sure.
Didn't we have that at Tagliani's last night?
I think so, yeah. We had the Mastracchio special, I think. That was the appetizer plate, wasn't it? Yeah.
They served Mastracchio over ice cream.
We had the lasagna, we had the spaghetti, and the fettuccine, and the Mastracchio.
And the greatest fried mushrooms ever.
Oh, those were awesome. God, and I'm not a mushroom person, and I thought they were awesome.
I might have to get an order of those on the way home.
Good startling news, everyone!
Well, we talked about the robots today, so why not start out with a robot story that's going to put birthday clowns out of business?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hooray, is what I'm saying.
That was facetious. I hate clowns.
Facetious, he was a Greek philosopher, right?
Yeah, that's it.
DARPA's Atlas is an impressive feat of robotics engineering, but despite representing the bleeding edge of automatons, it's slow and clumsy when it comes to doing anything on its own. A better way to make a robot as skilled as a human is to simply put a human in complete... Hang on, something in my eye, and now I can't see around the microphone. Okay, there we go. Put a human in complete control of it, manipulating it remotely like a puppet from a safe distance. That's what RE2 Robotics, not too close to R2-D2, thinks of the best approach, and watching the robot arms it developed make a balloon animal is pretty convincing.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Yes? I've already done this with surgery. Now they're doing it with balloon animals.
It's basically the same thing.
Hey, kids, watch me turn your intestine into a dog.
And what's interesting is it looks like the articulating arms are very much like the robotic surgery.
They do look like the robotic surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's the same type of technology they just adapted.
Why I just hope he doesn't do that twisty thing with the wrist or on your penis or something.
The Japanese will have a device for that by the end of the year, I'm sure.
Turn your head and cough.
That's right.
I'm cringy.
Ow.
Let's go on to the next story.
Long weekend, home alone.
Here I was picking on birthday clowns, and look where Craig takes us.
It's the studio. It does it.
He's not even here yet. All right, Doctor Who now has a coding game for kids, and it arrives on tablets. You may have seen this before. Unfortunately, we have some bad news at the end of this. Michael, would you like to read this, or are you staying away from the cold reading?
I'm going to stay away from the cold reading. It's just scary.
Craig, go for it.
Oh, I need to open the link.
Then I'll read it, and you get ready for the next one.
Oh, I'll give it a shot and see how bad I butcher it. You no longer have to fire up your computer just to give your children some programming lessons from Doctor Who.
Yay.
The BBC educational coding program, The Doctor and the Dalek, is now available on iPads and Android tablets, both through Amazon and soon Google Play. You get largely the same instruction-based Boolean logic puzzles. Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
As before, but the few new levels and new abilities for your one-of-a-kind Dalek companion.
A Dalek companion.
Okay. The catch, while the game is still free, it's only available in the UK for now.
Boom.
Hack. Hack, hack. You know that's going to be, yeah, sure.
The turrets.
That ain't going to happen. Here's hoping that the BBC makes it available worldwide so that more kids can help their favorite Gallifreyan.
I just want one command. Terminate. Exterminate.
Exterminate. Exterminate.
That's all a command.
Exterminate.
You don't need.
Exfoliate.
Go forward, backwards. Turn your plunger to the right.
Exfoliate. Exfoliate. Intoxicate.
It's the Dalek loofah.
There's a scrubby on the end of that plunger. Right. All righty. Now we know where that's going. Let's look at the birthday calendar. We have unsolicited Swoopy from Skepticality is on the 11th. I honestly don't know if she listens or not, except when we're at Dragon Con in front of her face.
Or I'll forward this episode to her.
Yeah. Psst, you've been tagged.
We'll tag her in this post.
We have three Valentine's babies. Douglas E. Welch of Career Opportunities Podcast, Darusha Wame, and Andrew, the new VP in Illinois.
Okay.
VP of what?
VP of Illinois.
Okay.
Illinois has a vice president?
Who's the president of Illinois?
When did they
succeed
from the union?
It's a new thing.
It's evidently.
We just missed it. We got to check our news feeds.
Oh, Philip from Australia
is the 15th. We have not heard from him for a long time. Hopefully all of you are still out there listening, and we wish you all the best. Happy birthday. If it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar, we also wish you a happy birthday. And if you want to be on our calendar, go to truckchat.com/wiki, and we will wish you a happy birthday when it comes to be your birthday.
Mm. We promise.
We don't promise anything on this show.
There's no guarantees.
I didn't use the word guarantee. I just said we promise.
Warranty void in Illinois.
Break time. Everybody needs to smoke them if you got them. We're going to come right back with the Hacks and Strange Stories. And, oh man, we got some Media Corner stuff that you'll want to stick around for. BRB.
What is that?
It's localized. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, ooh, yi, yi.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, things are all rancid.
Was it past the expiration date?
Would you like shipping instructions with that?
Lickety splickety snappity working just fine.
Chuck and Craig on Technorama. What is it with these guys?
It's all done. Excuse me, what do you think of Technorama?
I don't know.
Okay, I got to configure the board one more time.
Oh, it was unmuted?
See, when I mute 8, it also mutes 9 and 10, because those used to be the wireless mics, and I had it tied to the iPad.
You lost all my jokes?
No, we didn't.
You've been on mute the entire time, Craig. Sorry. we'll fill your space in with wild dolphin noises. It'll be great.
Yeah. I'll just record my side and Chuck can edit them together.
We'll just do this. Hacks and Strange Stories. We have the Hacks and Strange Stories, more like a hack on the guy's face.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, hell.
I'm not sure why they call this Red Skull, though. I mean, other than the fact that he's got red, he doesn't look anything like the Red Skull.
I totally agree.
It's just, I mean,
wait a minute. Let's enlighten
Craig,
the listener.
Read on.
Go ahead.
So meet 37-year-old Venezuelan man Henry Damon. Henry has had face implants, tattoos, and the end of his nose cut off. Oh, that just cringes. That's as bad as the robot twisting your. You know, look more like Captain America's arch nemesis, Red Skull. Obviously, he's really going for it, apparently. I'm sorry, I threw in the word apparently because it is. I like a person who isn't afraid to commit. That's what the article says. Look, you can half-ass it and just buy a Red Skull mask to wear at Halloween. But Henry has decided to make it that mask permanent. This is dedication. Next, Henry's plans are getting silicone implants in his cheekbones, chin, and cheek, and having his entire face dyed red. Then his transformation will be complete.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Henry is married to a young...
He's married with a young son. Not married to a young son.
That's why I had to stop. Hey, I didn't finish. I'll stop it.
We'll help.
Yeah, and it says his family respects the decision. Although... I have a sneaky suspicion his son may have stopped asking daddy to tuck him in.
Yeah, you know why? Because he doesn't want to play I Got Your Nose.
Well, your nose, Dad. If that's the case, then I see where he's going, that this is still a work in progress.
Yeah.
That he probably had the ring implants done in the forehead ahead of time. He looks more like a Klingon, red Klingon now than he does the Red Skull. But yeah, once he gets the head shaved and he does the face implant.
Well, yeah, is he going to shave off his beard too?
No, he'd have to, yeah. Because the Red Skull in the movie was beautiful. I mean, that was a beautiful makeup.
Yeah, they did a good job with that.
Yeah, so I can see the appeal of wanting to do that.
Hey, Red Skull, I found your nose. It's in my business.
I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm
I'll look at it this way.
I'm too geeky, I guess. I think it's cool that you want to do the full transformation thing.
Really?
Yeah, I really respect that. I mean, people that... I'm with the reviewer here. I mean, anybody that has that level of commitment and that dedication to actually do that kind of an edge look or to do that kind of, you know, extreme modification, that's, you know, that's not crazy. That's a serious
it's
dedication.
An artist.
Yeah.
It's an
serious
artist.
Dedication to living your art. You want to be a walking, living embodiment of art.
Yep.
And I get it. I understand it.
What happens when you're older and you know you start to sag?
Then you end up on Pinterest. Look at all the full body tattoos of all the elderly people that are on there now. They started out, they looked great when they were all tatted up. Now they're, you know, like 60 and 70 and some of them 80 and they're full body tats. And
that's not some cartoon where it said it was the cartoon where tattoos that weren't intended to be what they were supposed to be when they got older.
Exactly.
I mean, hey, you know what? Let's put it this way. If it makes them happy, I'm fine. I don't care. And
right.
It's
not impacting my life.
When
is
I was young, I had a dove tattooed on my chest. Now it's migrated south.
Yeah. But looking at it, picturing me doing it, there's no way in God's green earth I would ever do that.
Do the Red Skull thing?
No,
not the Red Skull thing.
But I'm not going to even have horns or, you know, I've seen some
split tongue, file teeth, the whole thing.
Yeah. For me, no, there's no way.
All right. Craig, do we have anybody in the chat room tonight?
Why, yes. Tim Elliott.
Yay.
Yay. One person. We're doing this video feed just for you.
One audience member
That's
at a
right.
time.
Because this is dedication. Every single person is important.
Let's go back to the old chat room where we had a couple of bots in there permanently.
Well, actually, there was, let's see, chat. There was, they said that Kyle was in the
old one?
Other one. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I can't pull it up right now, but I was kind of surprised because I thought I put a redirect on there so it should come here. But oh well.
Anyway,
Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the Media Corner.
Hey, by the way, I got one more comment about the Red Skull guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know he's gonna be a hit when the next movie comes out. He just goes, you know, people cosplay.
Maybe he can get in free because he's a star. All right, we were talking
about... Do you not recognize me?
I did this all for a free movie ticket.
Well,
him and his son would be the only ones cheering for the Red Skull.
That discussion feeds right into this next one about what is considered normal, what is considered beauty.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a facetious yet somewhat eye-opening article about a serious defense of Cinderella's, quote, ugly stepsisters. And it compares the Disney version versus the Grimm versus, you know, what message we're sending people. We're all super psyched for the new version of Disney's Cinderella. And we have high hopes that some of the dated stereotypes in the classic version of the fairy tale, which we still kind of love for old time's sake, will be updated for a new generation. But in the meantime,
Wait a minute. They're redoing Cinderella?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Animated, or is it like
Who knows? I've been trying to avoid this story altogether.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt.
But this one is cool. This story is pretty cool.
The meantime, let's backtrack to the three original versions of Cinderella. Charles Perrault, the Brothers Grimm, and Disney's. We've always thought that Cinderella had it bad. But the real victims in this classic story are Drizella and Anastasia Tremaine, the so-called ugly or evil stepsisters. Sure, they may boss Cinderella around way too much and react with hostility when they realize she stole their stuff, but we can chalk that up to three things. Fairly common sibling rivalry, a crappy mom who pitted the sisters against their stepsister, and a bunch of mice who did steal their stuff.
Yes.
And that's just the beginning of the whole stepsister misunderstanding. In all the variations of this fairy tale, a couple of things remain constant. The evil slash ugly stepsisters dynamic and a really complicated pair of shoes.
Right.
Shoes can be tricky, y'all. But have we ever stopped to take a look at the real story behind the Tremaine sisters? The first thing we know about the stepsisters is that they believe, as so many children do, whatever their crazy, demanding mother tells them is true.
Right.
Which is basically, you'll only be happy if you win the love of a man. How screwed up is that? They are clearly living in a dysfunctional household run by a woman who values male acceptance above all else. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Secondly, in the version by Perrault, the sisters are not described as ugly, but rather proud and haughty. Haughty isn't awesome,
right?
But what's wrong with being a proud woman? And how did that translate into being perceived as unattractive? Okay, time out. So because the sisters aren't naturally timid / total pushovers, right, that makes them ugly.
Exactly.
You're breaking our hearts over here, and it goes on for a couple of pages.
Ugly. That's exactly ugly it.
As in bad attitude, not necessarily ugly.
And you got to look at the time, how far we've come from back in the days when basically women were property. And they were treated as such. They are non-humans and treated as property and to be sold and to be used as collateral for the household. So now we have evolved from that, the times of the early writings of this story, to where we are now. And we look back at that and it just seems so unbelievable.
That makes me wonder how they will cast or write these characters in the new version. You can make them ugly internally. I mean, they may make real knockout stars that are beautiful, but just have a ugly attitude.
They're ugly on the inside. Yeah, yeah, I love
hope
that.
They do.
That's what I'm hoping.
Me being from the South.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you guys have heard people use it like this, but I've heard, hey, don't be ugly. And it's actually because you're being rude or, you know, not proper to somebody.
Right, exactly. You got an ugly attitude, or you have an ugly way about you. You're not ugly physically. You're just ugly inside.
And that's the way you should. I as much as I hesitate to say judge people, but that's how you should. How you should judge people. Mm-hmm. You know, be open at first, not physical appearance, not anything. But let them. We're getting into parenting now.
Yeah, I know.
So now, kids, try to be friends with everybody. That's if they smack you around, then they're idiots.
They are doing this live action. That's what it is. It's
okay, good.
People, there's a trailer out.
A trailer.
Yeah, in the trailer park. I didn't even know that.
A trailer park.
what is it? An Airstream? Which trailer are we talking about here?
No, for Disney. The Cinderella. I see a trailer on here.
Craig, we have Star Wars news as well.
Wait, you want
that story?
Let me click the link.
I think we need a road trip.
Ooh.
We need a road trip. Let's see.
To Mos Eisley?
Oh, to Madame Tussauds.
Madame Tussauds Wax Museum is now having what?
Looks like this woman is petting Yoda.
No, it's not a petting zoo. Oh, it's so cute. He's green and small. Yeah. Please read.
Here we go. Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in London has just announced the addition of 11 immersive Star Wars exhibits that visitors can actually walk around. The set includes Yoda's Dagobah Swamp, Han Solo getting dunked and...
Drunk.
Wait a minute. Drunk. And bang, bang,
What?
And bang aliens in Mos Eisley. Wow, that's
a deleted scene.
That's definitely a deleted scene.
On shot first.
Yeah. Oh, and I was, no.
That was a good one.
Ouch.
He hurt himself.
You also get the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, the eight other ones they didn't mention in the video, some of which will be from the prequels, so why waste your time? These sets will contain a total of 16 characters from the Star Wars universe, and if Jar Jar is one of them, I'll take a blowtorch and melt that wax
guy.
Yeah,
it's wax. Okay. I mean, that's easy.
Just reading this, if a Jar Jar is one of them, I'll be leaving with his head in my bag. Guess what? We saw him in the parade, just his head.
In the back of the car. That sounds like fun. And if you watch the video, they are going through a lot of effort with, they mainly show the Dagobah swamp. I don't know what state of completion the other ones are in, but they've got the smoke machine and they're doing it just like every other Madame Tussauds. Where they cast the head in clay and the hands in clay they were showing off Yoda, and then they'd make a vinyl form over the face, and then they pour the wax inside of that, and then really, they do the layers of paint, good, the clothing, inserting the hairs one by one.
It's really
this is
involved,
just as meticulous. Yeah. But this is the first time they've had sort of dioramas around the figures. Normally, you see Abraham Lincoln standing there with his hat and.
A card.
And he's right next to George Washington.
That's realistic.
Yeah.
Well.
Hey, I've been to the one in Vegas, and I got a picture of like Patrick Stewart and I want to say like Nicolas Cage, something like that. Anyway, they looked pretty good. But when you try to take a picture of them, they look a little flashy and the flesh doesn't look quite right. But but yeah, they look good in person though.
We have in the Geek Library, skipping along, studio discussion from Mad Marv, our faithful listener and foreign correspondent. He's in Hawaii. That's not exactly foreign, but it's halfway to foreign.
He's on the internet. It's foreign.
Okay. What day would you like to groundhog? Meaning, which one would you repeat over and over? And his response was Saturday at Dragon Con because it's the only way to see everything.
That's about right.
Wow. Yeah, but that every single day.
Well, would take a while.
It would take a long time.
It would take a long time.
So on the Groundhog Day thing, I don't know if you ever had this conversation here. How long was he actually in the loop?
Long enough to learn the piano very well, which could take some time.
So I think the official on it, after it was all said and done, was 57 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And there were actually those that said that in the books that it was probably closer to 100 years.
I would have probably just put it at like
because at the end, no, he knew almost everything.
Yeah,
that was going to
happen. About 57 years. Because you got to realize that if you go through all the steps of where he was, what he did, and what he accomplished, the accomplishments that he mastered inside of there.
Yeah.
Ice sculpturing, the piano, basically reworking his entire who he is. He went through his bouts of
depression. How would you keep your sanity?
Well, that's why he tried to kill himself constantly. And then the days that he just wanted to just check out. And you wouldn't be doing that consistently through the entire time that you're there. You would have times off and you had days off and you would have times where you just didn't want to deal with it anymore, locking yourself in the room and just trying to stay away from things. It's not like every single day you go out and you try to accomplish something or try to do something. There's a point where you just would give up altogether. I'm thinking that number is pretty accurate, about 50, because if you really watch the movie over and over,
That's it
makes a lot more sense that he's been in there as long as he has.
Somebody made an alarm clock that plays Sonny and Cher. I got you back every day. That would drive me insane more than anything.
Great.
There's actually a clock radio that plays that at 7 a.m. every day.
I got you, babe. And you need to have that little, a DJ talking at the beginning and then the song played?
That's it. Actually, if you just take that track If you took that opening track of Groundhog Day and put it on an iPhone, actually, if you just got an iPod, get an old cheap iPod from somewhere and make that the first track and make it play the tracks off your iPad every morning, you could have that right now.
It'd terrific.
Yeah. Thanks. You could have that right now. You just plug it in and make that the first track to wake you up every morning.
You know what? I'm putting it on my phone and make that my alarm.
I'll make it Craig's ringtone now.
That's awesome. That would be fun. Standing in line, all of a sudden it's.
I should do that without telling my wife. You know, just start playing in the middle of the morning. What?
Maybe I should make that Donna's ringtone. Craig, you still got the Technorama theme.
I do.
Rise and shine, campers.
All right. So what days would y'all pick for your groundhog?
I saw this question on Facebook, and I've been thinking about it over and over, and I don't think any of them would
be
good.
Not for 50 years.
Yeah, none of them would be good, because I don't care how good the day is, you would get sick to death of it after even just a few years doing that.
Some people would say, oh, my honeymoon.
No. Really, no. I mean, there's just no good day. I don't care what day it is. There's just no good day. You know, you think it is off the top of your head, but trying to live that every single day and having the same set of situations over and over again. I mean, even being able to go out and find different situations inside of that day, it's still just that day. And there's only so many things that you can do inside of that day without completely torpedoing everything.
But now
something I did try to groundhog, and that's seeing how many times I can watch Star Wars. The first time I saw Star Wars, you know, I ended up saw it for the first time, and anytime I heard that somebody was going to go see it, I would go see it with them again.
So that would be funny if you did get groundhogged into like Star Wars when it first came out, and you've seen it about 150 million times, and you start MSTing it, and everybody else is watching it for the first time. He's really on time on this one.
There's so many things that you can play around with inside of that, but eventually it'd just get old. You just get sick of it. I mean, look how long did it take him to figure out how to rob the armored car? I mean, that would have taken a year in itself to get to the point of where you could get good enough to actually make that happen without getting arrested.
Yeah, and you're right. After so much time towards the end of the movie, he knew where everybody was going to drop a glass or, you know, whatever. You know,
the kid falling out of the tree. Yeah. I mean, the old lady's having the flat out on the freeway. He knew everything about every aspect of his environment at that point.
You have to remember, though, that started out as like a curse. That's the day he didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if you got stuck in the day you didn't want over and over and over again. What would that do to your psyche?
Right. But even if you had the day that you did want over and over and over again, I mean, you know, it's like having vanilla ice cream for the rest of your life, and that's all you can ever have for the rest of your life. I mean, I don't care how good it is. It gets bad really fast.
I think we should do Friday at Dragon Con just to mess with Mad Marv. And then we could do our live show over and over and find out what works and what doesn't.
But what I found interesting was on Groundhog's Day, nobody did anything on Facebook. And I've always wanted to start, I wanted to do something on Groundhog Day. And it's never actually come to fruition because it would just take a Herculean amount of time to do it. But I want to do the same post in slight variations all day long. It's the same post, but just with little slight variations inside of the post.
Oh, that's creative.
And just throw it up there. All day long.
You have to start thinking about that now just to fire it off next year.
And that's it. Because in order to do that, even if you put one out every half an hour or an hour, I mean, yeah, that's a chunk of them.
Tag Bill Murray on every one of them. Hey, by the way, speaking of Groundhog Day and Bill Murray, it was in your neck of the woods. You had the big story that was similar to the Groundhog Day experience in the movie.
Were you talking about the one in Wisconsin where the groundhog bit the mayor?
No, in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's hilarious. I didn't hear about it.
Wait a minute.
It made the BBC.
Sorry. Anyway, let me finish my thoughts. Chuck here.
Hey, Y'all can talk amongst yourselves in a minute. In Phoenix, Arizona, Bill Murray performed a Heimlich maneuver on a guy, saved his life.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. And then a kid fell out of a tree.
Let me read the article. I have it right here. In a scene straight from the movie Groundhog Day, Bill Murray saved the life of a man who was choking while dining at a local restaurant in Phoenix, Arizona. Murray was having lunch with his friends when a man three tables from behind from him began to choke on his food. He said, I saw the guy choking, so I went over and helped him out. I actually learned the Heimlich maneuver while working on the movie Groundhog Day. Huh. I'm glad I was able to get some good use skills from that movie. So anyway, he ended up saving the guy. And I think the guy ended up buying Bill Murray's lunch and stuff, but.
I hope so. That's the least you could do. Yeah. Thanks for saving my life. Here, let me buy you lunch.
Yeah. So I'm surprised y'all didn't hear about that.
I did not.
The travels and tribulations of Bill Murray out in the real world is just a fascinating thing to follow. He is the coolest guy ever. I mean, he just shows up at people's parties. He shows up aimlessly in the weirdest places and just interacts with the public. It's wild.
I've seen him crash in Charleston, South Carolina. He crashed a party. It was a wedding party. Mm-hmm. Wedding reception or something, and he was at the golf club where they were doing the wedding reception, and he just walked in and sang a song and hung out with everybody, and it was like, you know, he seems like the coolest guy on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. He just wanders in. He'll be walking through the park, and he'll just sit down with somebody and in the middle of the park and have a picnic with him or just hang out or chat.
That's cool.
People having barbecues. He loves barbecues. He'll smell them in the back, and he'll basically ring the door and go, "Hey, can I come in?"
I let him in.
Yeah.
Well, I also read that he doesn't even have a publicist. It's just that people will call. He's got a phone number. People call and pitch him an idea for a movie, and he'll just pick what he wants.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. That's pretty cool.
All right. We are winding down the show. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you, Michael, for coming on over.
Yeah, no problem.
And thank you, Craig.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank you, sir.
And I want to thank everyone. It's that early time of the month again when I thank all the donators to the tip jar. Thank you very much. You keep this show going. And we encourage you, if you haven't been donating, to head over to chuckchat.com/technorama and click on one of those links. Didn't we set something new up, Craig? Or were you working on that? What's it called? Not the PayPal thing.
Bitcoin.
Oh, Patreon.
Patreon. Yes, I knew it started with a P and I had to pay.
Yeah, that's coming. That's coming.
Yeah, please support us with Bitcoin. That's what we need.
Right.
The ATM is hungry.
Why can't I buy a beer with this Bitcoin?
Because they can't make change. Yeah. And thank you. Should also say a real quiet thank you to the person behind the camera work, my lovely wife, Donna. Thank you very much. She has been doing this. She's now a veteran.
Yes.
For the second week, doing a mighty fine job.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you,
Donna. So you can see who's talking and when, because these cameras don't magically do themselves. Someone's got to sit there, and we appreciate that very, very much. So until next week, we want you to tell a friend about Technorama. If you want to get in touch with us on the listener line, you know the number. I say it every week. 2222.
I don't know it.
206-222-2428.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. Till next week, tell a friend about Technorama and give me ye oldie binary high fivey.
1Z01Z. Wait. That sounds weird.